Well, it looks like I'm on part eight. I remember one time my pastor asked me to preach for 45 minutes, and I told him, I said, I can only go 30. 30's all I got. Now I can't get done in a month of Sundays. We are talking about discerning spirits, the spiritual gift that I think right now is the most important gift, one of the most important gifts. They're all important, but I think we need discerning spirits. We're living in a world where there's more fake news than real news. My wife constantly tells me about a story she read, and I constantly look at her and said, that's fake news. That did not happen that way. I read stories about a verdict of a trial that hasn't taken place yet. I read stories of so many different things, and I find that I must discern whether it's true or fake. I can no longer just read something. If I read it, I have to say, is this fake or is this real? Because I don't want to get caught up in the fakeness of news. I'll go one step further. Because you are flesh, you're a spirit in a flesh body, your flesh will discern by the flesh. Can't do that. What am I talking about? Well, just because Esme tells me something doesn't mean it's true. Now, I love Esme. And I want to believe everything she tells me is true. And the fact could very well be that it was her truth when she told it to me, but she didn't have all the facts. Maybe it was her truth, her perspective, but it wasn't the perspective that I see. So I have to discern whether this is true or not. I can't go by the flesh and say, I love Esme, so therefore it's true. I need that gift to discern the truth from a lie, to test the spirits. This is what the Bible says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Now, I understand that just because Esme's standing in front of me in the physical presence, she is a spirit. She's a spirit in a fleshly body. But yet I'm not to believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see where they came from. Is it coming from? You got to come more often as me because I get to pick on you. This is really good. Where did it come from? Where is what you're telling me coming from? Is it coming from a bad experience you had as a child? Is it coming from the way your husband treated you? Is it coming from what your children did? Where is this thing that you're telling me coming from? Is it biased based on your experiences? Did the devil put you up to that? Because he puts all of y'all up to something from time to time, trust me. But the Bible says, trust the spirits to see where they came from. Test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are so many false prophets out there. All of these so-called religious leaders on Facebook, on the sidewalk. And nobody says, you know what? Let me discern this for a minute. All right, you're such a man of God, and everything you say is right. And where's your church? I mean, you have all this and God didn't give you a church? Maybe there's something wrong here. Because when I go to church, I hear something different. They're everywhere. We had a false prophet come into our house. I told this story many years ago. Some of you may remember it. A con artist from the start. She told, if you've ever been to my house, you have seen Pastor Marjorie's doll collection. She has a doll collection in Fort Lauderdale. And these aren't ordinary dolls. These are dolls that I had custom made for her, where she picked the clothing, the color of the eyes, the color of the hair, the ethnicity. She's got a rainbow of dolls. She's got white dolls, black dolls, Hispanic dolls, Eskimo dolls, Indian dolls, you name it. She's got the entire culture of the world, and she picked them all out and had them custom made by a doll maker. And this false prophet came into my house, and she said, you have to throw away all of those dolls because they have evil spirits. And I'm thinking, huh? They're winking at me. Now, we do have one doll that does speak. He's not a doll we had made. It's the guy from Sesame Street. Is it Elmo or Ernie? Ernie. We have Ernie. We have Ernie. Ernie talks to us. Y'all think I'm crazy. But Ernie talks to us. Ernie doesn't have no batteries in him, but he talks to us anyway. I feel great. That's what Ernie says. Feel great too, Ernie. Keep on going. It's all right. You're all right, Ernie, with me. You're all right. You stay right there. You're doing fine. Y'all don't believe Ernie talks, do you? He's been talking for 30 years. We took the batteries out so he couldn't talk anymore. It didn't stop him a bit. But she said, you got to throw all of these things away. They're winking at me. And God doesn't want you to have them. And the congregation was excited to come to church the next week because they expected me to have thrown all the dolls away. What they found when they got there was all the dolls were still sitting there in their doll case that I made. I'm not scared of no ghost. I will rebuke an evil spirit and I will send it away. It's really not that difficult. I don't got to throw the doll away to get rid of an evil spirit. In fact, I could throw the doll away. The evil spirit would come out of the doll and stay there if there was an evil spirit in the doll. But it was just a con artist, and she further confirmed to me she was a con artist because she opened the Bible to a scripture, Psalms 122 or whatever it was, and then said, God wants you to give $122. One of those. You've seen that. I'm sure you have. They'll open the Bible to a scripture and say, that's how much you're supposed to give. I don't think God works that way. But there are many false prophets in the world. So when you're reading that religious story, when you're hearing that message, you got to ask yourself, are you fake or are you real? Are you a true prophet of God or are you a false prophet? You need to make that determination here. You have to listen to me and you have to decide for yourself, is that a false prophet or is that a prophet from God? Don't just assume because you walked into a beautiful church that it's a prophet from God. There are churches a lot prettier than this one that I can promise you there's a false prophet on the stage. You need the gift of discernment. You have to desire the gifts. If you don't desire the gift, you're probably not going to get the gift. You must desire the gift. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That is a tricky sentence. It's been taken out of context. And I'll hear people say, a false spirit cannot mention the name of Jesus. Wrong. I've watched him do it. Recognizing the Spirit of God isn't the same as saying the name of God. Recognizing the Spirit of God is a discerning gift. And you know that you know that you know what you're hearing is from God and it's true. I hope that's how you feel today. I hope that you can sit there and say, I know what I'm hearing is from God. It is not misleading me. It's not taking me down a path I don't want to go. It is what God has to say to me today. Because if you don't feel that way, you really shouldn't be here. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God, there is a spirit of the Antichrist which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Now, another confusing scripture. Because people are always looking for the Antichrist. They think it's this guy, they think it's that guy, they think it's that guy. Listen, I'll tell you again, I'll tell you till I'm blue in the face, Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. I don't tell you that because I love Donald Trump, because the truth is I don't love Donald Trump. I agree with some of his things. I disagree with others. It's okay. It is what it is. I often said before the election, if he gets elected, he'll be a monster. You decide. He takes things a certain place, and then he takes them a little further than they need to go. Anyway, I'm not allowed to teach about politics, so erase everything I just said. Don't erase it. Where was I? Oh, the Antichrist. It doesn't say the Antichrist is here. It says the spirit of the Antichrist is here. The spirit of the Antichrist has been here for 2,000 plus years. The spirit of the Antichrist has always been here. Y'all used to have that spirit. Before you acknowledged there was a God, before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is anything that stands against God. But it hasn't manifested yet. There'll be a manifestation of the Antichrist. Go back and listen to the sermon on Revelation. I think that took about 30 weeks. One day it will manifest. And I will tell you what to be careful of. Because when the spirit of the Antichrist is manifest, it is going to be a thing, a spirit that brings the world together. That's what the Bible says. In other words, it's going to get Russia and America together. It's going to get America and Iran and Russia together. It's going to bring the world together like you've never seen before. How many think Donald Trump is going to do that? He can't get America together. That is not the Antichrist. No matter how bad you want him to be, he's not it. The Antichrist is not going to look like the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to look so close to Jesus Christ that you have a hard time telling them apart. The spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. If you don't believe me, watch some of the parades going on this month. If you don't believe me, listen to what the schools are teaching your children. If you don't believe me, listen to people justify their lifestyles. It's already here. The Spirit is here. You dear children are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So you have already overcome the spirit of the Antichrist, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've accepted the Holy Spirit, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I promise you, I've upset the Antichrist to degrees you'll never understand. To degrees that my life has been in danger. To degrees where I've had death threats. To degrees where I've been blackmailed. But greater is he that is in me. So if he that is in me says you can't have me, then you can't have me. See, devil's already tried to take me out. I've almost died several times. I'm still alive because God chooses that I'm still alive. And I'm not worried about death, because when I die, I go to be with Jesus. What are you threatening me with? Threatening me with a good time with Jesus? I live for that. I get up here every Sunday because I believe that. You're not going to see me crying on a deathbed. I guarantee it. It's okay. I've lived my life. I've done what I could do. Body's getting older. Hurts. If I move wrong, it hurts. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to move that way. Last night I slept on my arm. Wow, did it wake up hurting. I look forward to what's awaiting me. And yet, I love God enough to know that I need to stay right here as long as he wants me here to do what he wants me to do. And when I get to heaven, not be remorseful that I'm in heaven. I'm going to be happy that I'm in heaven. I'm going to rejoice that I'm in heaven. I'm going to rejoice that I did the things God wanted me to do on earth. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Like spirits congregate together. So if you're congregating in an antichrist situation, you need to question yourself. Why are these spirits attracted to me? Why am I attracted to those spirits? I'm not going to go get in a conversation talking about there ain't no God. Am I going to tell them there's a God? Absolutely, I'm not. I'm going to turn around and walk away. Because the Bible said, don't cast your pearls among the swine. Don't pour out your heart to those that don't have a heart. Until they have an open heart, there's no point talking to them. They're not going to receive anything I have to say. All they want me to do is believe what they have to say. And I'm not about to do that. So I will walk away. And then one day, when God opens their heart, I will pour into them the truth of God. Because if you're from the world, then you speak from the world, and others like you listen to you. That's why there's so many antichrist spirits out there. It is not the Spirit of God that goes into a school and starts killing people. It is not the Spirit of God that goes into a concert and opens fire. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. If you know God, you're going to listen to what I have to say to you. But for whoever is not from God is not going to listen. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. If a preacher is offended that you're testing the spirit, that's your first sign that it's a false spirit. Because God said for you to test the spirits. Therefore, you should test the spirits. Therefore, I should not get offended with you testing the spirits. How can you test what I say? Well, I put the scripture on the screen so that you could read the scripture and see if what I'm telling you is true. You can go home and study the scripture. I don't have a problem with you having a different viewpoint than what I have. But all I asked is, go home, look it up, and bring it back to me. Don't just tell me I don't agree with you. Go study the Bible for yourself. Come back and show it to me. But don't be surprised if I'm able to explain it to you in a different way. Next scripture. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature. We sometimes think because somebody's of age that they're mature. You can be 90 years old, does not make you mature in Christ. You could be 4 years old and have more maturity than an 80-year-old. I've seen it. The first person I baptized was about 4. And the church told me that I was going to baptize her. I'm not baptizing her. not going to happen. Well, why are you making that decision? Don't you think you should make a case one way or the other? So I set her down. And I gave her a battery of questions for about 20 minutes. She explained everything to me. She explained to me who Jesus was. She explained to me about living a godly life. She explained to me about why she wanted to be baptized. She explained it all to me better than any adult could ever explain it to me. She explained it all to me, and I baptized her. See, either you know or you don't know. Solid food is for the mature. I was in Bible study once. I was doing a service. And some guy piped up. He went about 20 layers deeper than I was going. So I answered his question, and then I told him this. That's all good and fine. But it's not for a time such as this. What we have in here are people that are just coming to know the Lord, and they're not ready for that. So although I know it, doesn't mean I'm going to speak it. I don't need to prove to anybody how smart I am. What I need to do is reach them. And he shut up after that. The most difficult thing about preaching a sermon is preaching to all of the kindergartners, first graders, eighth graders, high schoolers, college graduates, doctorates, and so forth, all in one sermon, all at one time. Everybody has to understand what I'm trying to say. I was never so intimidated when I found out that the college that I was part of was having their alumni convention here at our church. And all of a sudden, I had somewhere between 20 and 30 people with doctorate degrees to hear me speak. And I'm thinking, oh my. And I was okay because they had other people speaking as well, and I wasn't the only speaker until I started speaking. I became basically the only speaker for 3 days. And I remember I preached, we broke for lunch, and I'm in the fellowship hall over there. We're having lunch, and I'm talking to one of the guys, and somebody else was supposed to speak after lunch. And all of a sudden they're telling me, oh no, you're speaking after lunch. We need to learn all about what you're talking about now. At the end of Sunday, I'd lost my voice. I'd preached for so many hours. One spot they gave me, they said, somebody has called and they cannot be here to speak. Can you take his spot? I'm like, oh, okay. When's his spot? They said from 9 to 1. I got no preparation. I got no notes. I got nothing. And I took this stage at 9 o'clock and left it at 1. Because God gave me everything to say. But I had the opportunity to speak to some real mature people in Christ who understood in detail great depths. And God still allowed me to teach them. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. In other words, they test the spirits. They know whether their hearing is true or not true. And I believe we're in a time in our life that is so critical that we understand this concept. Everything you read is not true just because somebody typed it. Everything you hear is not true just because it's come some distinguished newsman that you've been listening to for 20 years. Where did he get the information? Do you understand he's just reading what they put in front of him? You have to understand that. He's just reading what they put in front of him. The teleprompter is telling him what to say. They're great newscasters because they read real well. I can read anything anybody puts on that screen. Doesn't make any of it true. First Kings 3:9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Do you know who that is? That's a kid. That's a kid speaking. Not an adult. It's a child. His name is Solomon. Give me a discerning heart. Because I often tell you, don't ask for something you don't have reason to get. When you ask God for a discerning heart, and I hope that you will, give him a reason. God, I need a discerning heart so my marriage will prosper. God, I need a discerning heart so my kids turn out well. Lord, give me a discerning heart so I can be a witness for the kingdom of God. Give me a discerning heart so I can represent Jesus in my living, my daily living. Sometimes I don't have a discerning heart. I say things I shouldn't say. Doesn't make them wrong, per se, but I still shouldn't have said it. God doesn't want me to say everything I know. Some things are just for me to go pray about. Sometimes he'll tell me something about you just so I will pray for you, not so I go make it known to you that I know. I have to distinguish the difference. There's one more on this subject. One more. Philippians 1st chapter verses 9 and 10. Then this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. The day's coming. Are you going to be blameless? I don't think any of us really are. But are we doing the best we can? And that comes with discerning what is of God and what is of you. How many know there's a separation between us and God? Because we want to do all kinds of things. I have the nicest set of golf clubs made. Do you hear me? Made in the world. And I would love to take them out on a nice Sunday morning. The peacefulness of the golf course is amazing to me. And sometimes I hit that ball so far, or I'll make that 20-foot putt. Normally I miss it, but once in a while I'll make it. But I have to discern what's best for me. And although that makes me very happy, it's not what's best for me. What's best for me is to come here and be with the anointing of God's people and to hear from God. But don't think there's not a pool. Don't think there's not a pool to go see my children. Don't think there's not a pool for me to sleep in and rest because I'm tired. Don't think because I'm up here every Sunday morning that I so desire to be up here every Sunday morning, because it's not true. I faced that this morning. I really don't want to go. But I have a discerning spirit. And I know what's best for me. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know what I'm supposed to do. So when that day comes, God's not going to look at me and say, "I gave you an assignment. Where were you?" Funny, the verse, kind of funny to me that, and I realized this, if I didn't love you, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I know why I have to be here. Someone may need the word that I have to say to you through Christ, and it could be life-changing. I know that to be true because I've watched many lives change. What would have happened had I not been here? What would happen if you pulled up in the driveway and the doors were locked? You need a discerning spirit. That's what this verse is telling you. Because you're going to stand before Christ and give an account of your life, you need a discerning spirit. You need a spirit that says, "Yes, that's great, but find another time to do it." Yes, that's great, and you'll have a great time, but church first, then me first. God says me first. Me first. Should get your t-shirt made that says me first. Because that's what God's saying to you. Me first. And I know some of you don't like what I'm about to say, and that's okay. But God didn't say this party first and then me. This barbecue first, then me. This football game first, then me. This birthday celebration, but then me. He never said that. He said, "Put me first, and then everything else will come together for you." What most people don't realize is putting him first removes the struggle in your life. Why are you struggling with your marriage? You haven't put God first. Oh, I know you come to church pretty regularly, and I know you give money, but you haven't put him first. That's different. That's why you still struggle. Why am I struggling in my finances? Well, you haven't put God first. Why am I struggling at work? Because you haven't put God first. The struggle's real. I watch you. And I can stand here on stage and truthfully tell you this. Truthfully tell you this. Not making it up. I don't struggle with anything. I have no struggle. Ask Pastor Marjorie. We have no struggle. And that's what we want for you. No struggle. But you got to put God first. There's no other way around it. All right, we're leaving that and we're going into a real sensitive topic, the gift of tongues. Because you see, I came up in a church that didn't exist. Funny how a man can look at a Bible and say, yeah, I'm reading it, but it don't exist. I'm reading all about it, but it's fake. Who made you judge and jury of what is true and what is fake in the Bible? I take this theology. Everything in the Bible is true or none of it's true. Because Christ said, you're either with me or you're against me. There's no middle of the road. There's no such thing as an agnostic. There's an atheist or there's a believer. Because God said, if you're an agnostic, you're an atheist. Because you're either with me or you're not. The Bible's either true or it's not. Have you made it your authority? Because if you haven't made it your authority, then it's not your authority. You either live by it or you're not going to live by it. You have no right to decide which parts of the Bible you want. And that's what God said to me when I answered the call to be a pastor. And then he told me no. And I was confused. And he said, you belong to the church of the pick and choose. You're right, God. I've been part of a church that picked what parts of the Bible they believe in and what parts they were going to ignore. And he said, I want you to accept the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all true. And I had to instantly change everything that I thought and believed. And on my first sermon here 13 years ago plus, I told the congregation that in order to teach them, I had to empty them. All the preconceived notions, all the preconceived thoughts, all the things that they've heard and listened to on social media and in other churches and their parents and their friends who think they know about God, who shouldn't be saying anything about God because they know nothing about God. Repeating what somebody told you does not make you an expert on God. But if you hold up that book and say, this is the chapter, this is the verse, you become an expert. And so, I know that I have people in this congregation who don't believe in tongues. I know that. I'm not mad at you, because I too sat in congregations and did not believe in tongues. I too sat in congregations and did not believe that the Holy Spirit would knock you to the ground. It's fake. I listen to people tell me that they went to church when they pushed them on their forehead, they fell down just because they didn't want to feel like they were the only ones who couldn't do it. So I try not to touch you. Almost everyone in this room who've been knocked down by the Holy Spirit will tell you, "Didn't even touch me." I had an amazing day. My pastor was preaching, and he called me to the stage. And he anointed me, and he says, "Go down there and anoint the congregation." And the power of God was so intense. I've experienced some things close to this, but I never experienced this before. Don't know that I ever will again. I hope I do again. But he said, "Go anoint the congregation." So the congregation began to come to me. And I get down off the steps, and they're coming, and they're all the way at the last row, and I lift up my hand, and they fall down. And whoever I pointed my hand out fell down right where they were. And it didn't matter who it was, I lifted up my hand, and they were down on the ground. That's a little hard to fake. Very hard to fake. Impossible to fake. But they were praying for my pastor one day, and I walked up on him. And his knees buckled immediately. And about 8 guys were trying to hold him up. And after the night was over, he brought me in and he said, "You know what happened to me?" I said, "Yeah, the Holy Spirit got a hold of you." He said, "Yeah, but it came from you. It came through you. And I couldn't stand." Oh, but that's fake. So fake. And yet we've had baptisms. People deathly afraid of the water. Go under the water without me ever touching them. You've seen it. Many of you have seen it and witnessed it. We almost lost one lady because she went down, then she drifted off to the deep end underwater. And I'm screaming, "Somebody get her!" Why do you insist on limiting God's power in your life? Why? When God has so much for you and he wants to get it on you. And I went to a Pentecostal church. And I didn't believe in any of this. This tongues or being slayed by the Spirit, because I was taught in my denominational church that that was for then but not for now. Everything in the Bible is for now. Everything. It's a pattern. It's a principle. It's something to govern your life by. It's for you today. What do you think? God gave you a history lesson, and yet it tells you time after time after time in the Bible, if you want a history lesson, go somewhere else. Go to the annals of the king if you want a history lesson. Don't look to the Bible as a history lesson. The Bible is a tool to empower you. If you'll accept the power of God. I don't have time to get into this today. But I'll be back next week. You come back, and I'll teach you about tongues. I so didn't believe in tongues that I was a pastor before I could speak in tongues. See, it's not a requirement, but it's a gift. And one of my pastors, my bishop's wife, came to me one day and she said, "Pastor, do you speak in tongues?" I said, "No." And the thing was, I never desired to speak in tongues because I never knew the benefits. And she told me the benefits of speaking in tongues, and I'm going to tell you those benefits next week. Said, "Do you want to speak in tongues?" "Yes, I want to speak in tongues." And she put me down, and I came up speaking in tongues. It's actually one of the easiest gifts to get if you desire it, if you understand the benefits of it. So I hope you'll join me next week as we talk about tongues. And I'd like to explain it to you because it's a great gift. And I never like to show off that gift because I'll show you in Scripture, it's not a gift for show. I'll show you in Scripture where God says it's better not to speak in tongues if people aren't going to understand what you're saying. It's of no benefit to them. And God had to straighten me out about 12 years ago. And Kathy is my witness. I had never spoken in tongues in public in my life. And God said, "Go into that hospital room and speak in tongues." And he would wake Kathy's husband, Danny, up, who had been in a coma. I think Kathy told me 10 days, 2 days, 2 weeks in a coma. And the doctor said he would not recover. "God, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this. God, I really don't want to go in there and speak in tongues where everybody can hear me." But you'll wake him up. And people ask me, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to speak in tongues, and God's going to wake Danny up." That's what's going to happen. Okay. All right. I got to see this. Been in a coma for 2 weeks, and you're just going to wake up because you're going to speak in tongues. Yep. That's what's going to happen. That's what God said. Am I telling the truth, Marjorie? Am I telling the truth, Pastor Linda? And I went in that room, and I let it go. Kathy's family thought there was a demon in the room. True that. I don't know how long it took, but it was somewhere around the 30-second mark. That man woke straight up. Because God said. Not because of me, but because God said. You do this, and I'll do this. It's important. It's important for you to realize that God has more than you can imagine. You limit God with your pride. Your pride cometh before the fall, the Bible says. And you limit God with your pride because you're unwilling to do what God tells you to do, because you don't want to look foolish. You don't want to look stupid. I didn't care how I looked, if it was going to wake Danny up. I believed in what God said. I believed I had heard from God. Cardiac sudden death. Yet he lives. So come back next week and learn about tongues. Don't run like the couple that I had this sermon title, Everyone Speaks in Tongues. Had nothing to do with the language of tongues. It had something totally different. But they heard the title and they walked out of the church without ever hearing the message. Pastor Linda confronted them a couple weeks later and said, "Why did you walk out of the church?" He said, "Because he was going to speak in tongues." Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. They missed out on a word that God probably had for them. Don't miss out. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the anointing of Christ that we have received today by being in this place, God. We have felt your presence. We have discerned that we heard truth today. And let us walk in that truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.